97 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport City Council Member Grayson Butcher joining us. Grayson, good morning.
Hey, good morning to y'all.
Thank you for jumping on here last minute with us. We appreciate
it. Sure, no problem.
Your post has been removed.
I was just going to say, she said, check Grayson's post. I don't see it.
You have proposed a voluntary fee for residents if they want to help to support the police department. You took a little heat, I'm sure, huh?
No, actually, I didn't. The reason I removed it is it gets, once the things start to grab legs, it gets to a point where I can't answer everybody and I feel kind of bad about it. So I told myself whenever I came up with this, or, you know, really that kind of popped into my mind with everything that's going on. And, you know, I've always been somewhat open to some type of fee on the water bill, but I don't want to make it mandatory. You know, I've always, and I've also been a little bit reluctant to even go out there because I want the citizens to vote. I somewhat think when you put fees on water bills without people being able to vote, it's taxation without representation. So I've always been, but it would generate a tremendous amount of money for public safety if we were able to do that. I mean, I run the numbers.
Let's go over the numbers. What kind of fee were you talking about, and what percentage were you hoping might actually do it?
Well, you know, I figured $10 to $20 a month. It would be a scale people could choose. They could opt in to do it for a year for their, for budgeting purposes for us. And, you opt in to do it for a year, $10 a month, $20 a month, $15 a month, but, you know, have some increments there. So even if you went on the low end, we have about 63,000 water billing customers in the city of Shreveport, both business and residential. And if you did it, if you got half of that, I mean, I think you probably would get a third, but let's just figure a half because it's easier. You're looking at a little bit over $3 million.
Mm-hmm. And your proposal would be to use that money for what? More officers? What is
because that wouldn't be a recurring fund. You couldn't.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So this is what you would do. If we knew, let's say we start this campaign, I don't know. I mean, realistically, in a world that's perfect, you would do it. You'd start for it maybe in the summer, and then you'd know by the time budget season came how many people had pledged to do it. And then you have to put in some percentages in there of people that may move out of town or may pass away or may get an illness that just has, so you have to, put a percentage in there, maybe 10%. I don't know. But anyway, you budget that amount. So what I would want to budget it for is, and this is another thing. This is in the very preliminary stages. So, and also, I'm just trying to get the money. I want the police to be able to budget the way they need to budget for it. But having said that, my mind would be something like incentives for police officers. Something that's not recurring, but if you have an officer that has perfect attendance, maybe they get a $2,000 stipend. I don't want to call it a bonus because mm-hmm. You can't do that in civil service. You give them that. You have maybe a physical fitness stipend that, every quarter, if they pass their age requirement of what it is, to be a police officer, you get this much. The other thing is we could take it and put it towards uniforms. Right now our officers get $400 a year for uniforms, and you can only imagine that's not enough to even buy a pair of boots. Mm-hmm. You could also do it for maybe a one-time purchase of some vehicles for take-home cars. So there's things that you could do for that year because you pretty much know that you've got the money coming in. And then on the flip side of that, we do have, and the mayor doesn't like me talking about this, but let's say we budget X amount of dollars and we don't collect it that year. We do have a little bit of wiggle room in our surplus if we need to fall back on that in our reserve fund. So, I mean, it's just an idea. I floated it. I've talked to a couple of members of the police department that are helping me come up with a more proactive kind of a plan, but we're in the very preliminary stages of this.
Okay. And Grayson, let me interrupt you. The mayor proposed a 2% fee on the water bill to pay for blight, and he got gut punched. He got punched in the nose. He got kicked in the teeth to the point where he withdrew it. Are you a little
but
concerned?
But that wasn't voluntary.
It wasn't voluntary. I understand that completely.
Here's the thing. You know, the mayor did what he thought was right. I necessarily didn't agree with it. And the reason that I didn't agree with it, I think I told you on your show, is that I have proposed to two mayors some type of fee, even going out for a vote for a fee for police and fire raises. And I've been turned down every time. And then we pop up with a 2% fee for tearing down buildings of out-of-town landlords that we've allowed to get to this point. So, yes, I was against that. But having said that, the mayor did put it out there, and he went out on a limb and did it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I floated this on Facebook. But mine is a lot different because it's strictly voluntary, and I'm not wanting to budget off of it for recurring items.
Right.
So, you know, and here's the other thing. You know, the mayor had the courage to put that up there. He got the feedback from the citizens, and you know, in his defense, he pulled it off. Mm-hmm. And all I'm doing is asking questions. And you know, here's the thing. I want, you know, over the mayor and the majority of the council, other than Councilman Taliaferro, I have lived on a firefighter salary, and my wife has lived on a police officer salary. When my wife left law enforcement last year, her salary, I'm not gonna say it, but it was poverty level. If I didn't have a fairly decent business, we wouldn't have been able to make it. It barely paid the insurance.
Right.
So I know what these people are going through, and I know the stress, and I've seen my wife cry many, many tears over cases that she's working and not being here for things. And I know you call my daughter, who's now 28, ask her how many times I missed recitals and dance recitals and plays when she was in elementary school because I was at work at the fire station.
Right. Okay, so what are you going to do now with this? Are you going to propose an ordinance? Are you going to bring it before the council? Are you going to talk to them before you do that? What's the status?
What I would like to do is I'm working with a couple of people. I've got some business people in town that are interested in maybe helping us raise money to do a campaign to explain it. It won't be taxpayer dollars. It'll be all self-funded things that maybe my thought is I've talked to one union president. I have not talked to the other one. Is to get the unions involved if this is something they're interested in participating in, and letting them be the spokesman for this and get this out there. And then once we get a plan together, I'll bring it to the city council if there's enough support. If there's not, then I won't do it.
Talking with City Council Member Grayson Butcher. Grayson, can you hold with us because I want to switch gears, but we've got to take a break.
Okay, thank you.
We'll be back with City Council Member Grayson Butcher, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, Grayson Butcher, 710 Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport City Councilman Grayson Butcher on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Grayson, earlier this morning we were talking about New Orleans not being able to make payroll. Baton Rouge lost millions in tax revenue when St. George's de-annexed and became its own city.
And are laying off 400 workers.
And Baton Rouge is laying off workers now. And Scott Hughes made the point, look, Shreveport, we have our problems, but you know what? Being the third largest city in the state, we're doing okay. We're making payroll. We're not laying off 400 city workers. But it did bring up a question. There has been discussion about Ellerbe Road, the Forbing area, de-annexing from the city of Shreveport.
So let's back up just a second on that we are doing well. Yes, we are able to make payroll.
I'm not saying we're doing well. I'm saying our perspective might need to be a little different because we're doing better than some of the other areas.
But we have a lot of unfunded needs that we don't address. A lot of unfunded needs that we don't address. We have a We have a huge consent decree hanging over our head. We have bonded ourselves to the hilt on the water bills, which is another reason that, you know, my fee may not be tasteful to people, because we're already paying off bonds that actually went to fix nothing for the consent decree. So we've got that lingering behind us. We've got water issues that at some point we're going to have to say, look, we need a secondary water source for the city of Shreveport. We've got that hanging over our heads. So, yeah, we are doing fairly well right now. We've got garbage. We need new garbage trucks right now. You know, our garbage trucks are.
Didn't we just get a bunch of them?
We did, but can you imagine running these things, you know, almost 12 hours a day, every day, and it's not an easy job that they have. Mm. So there's going to be a need for garbage trucks in the near future. You know, 8 years for me in the city council has flown by. So, you know, you've got to proactively start thinking about these things. And I just, if you look that we've lost water billing customers in the last 4 or 5 years, we've lost revenue. Our sales tax is pretty stagnant. Even including, with inflation, you would think with inflation, sales tax would go up, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's kind of a simple math equation. It's not. It's stagnant. We have buildings that once were on the tax rolls that were bringing in ad valorem property taxes, like the Jolie Apartments and all these other apartment buildings that are now worthless. So there are some real issues. They may not be hitting us right now, but if we don't become proactive and start making some changes and start planning for some things in the future, we're going to be in the same boat.
It's your district. Ellerbe Road, the area, that is all your district.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I wanted to bring this up.
If we were to de-annex that, where's the pile of money? Does Shreveport save a lot of money because of that? Or would we be in horrible shape because we would be losing a ton of money?
Okay, first off, it'll never happen. It'll never be able to be de-annexed. Even though, you know, in my mind, it's not a bad idea. There's two ways to de-annex out here. It's different than St. George, because St. George was never in the city limits of Baton Rouge. So in order to de-annex our area, and trust me, I've looked at it, what you have to do is you either have to get a vote of the entire city to let us out. That might happen, but I doubt it very seriously. Because we are pretty much a revenue cow down here for the city. I mean, we're bringing in the majority of the sales tax. I mean, mm-hmm. property tax and sales tax. So I doubt that the rest of the city, once they realize that and see what the economic impact to the city's budget is going to be, I don't think the rest of the city would let us get out. So that's number one. The other one is, there's two ways. That's the first way, vote of the entire city, not just the area. And then the second way is for the city council. And I think my colleagues on the city council realize what Southeast Shreveport and what pretty much south of around Ockley and Piermont or in the South Highlands and south and Broadmoor, they do for the city of Shreveport. So I don't think it would ever happen. Having said all of that, you know, there's something that we need to consider out here as you know, we're talking about the future. I mean, I'm 54. I hope I've got 20 more years left. But, you know, in the future, our run to deteriorate, you know, the majority.
You're talking about in your district.
Right. A lot of people don't understand the majority of the roads out here are private, but there's a good number that are public roads. And what happens is, like in the Providence development, the developer comes in, he puts in brand new roads. The city's not paying for that. He puts in all the infrastructure, the water, the sewage, all that stuff, and then he donates those roads to the city. So as those areas start to deteriorate, we're going to have to come up with a plan to take care of it. You know, we've got more road miles in the city of Shreveport than they have in Detroit.
Yep.
You know, so those are all things. So, yes, on a short-term basis, I don't see it good for the city, but on a long-term basis, you know, once the Piper comes calling for the things that are going on out here with sewer problems, water problems, street problems, which we're already starting to see, the area is going to start dragging down, you know, the city, the rest of the city, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to watch what's going on in Baton Rouge. That's a big tax base that is now gone, and the city budget's struggling. I think you're right. I think we're headed for real, real financial troubles if we don't find some answers soon.
Well, and that's what the small little plan is. This voluntary plan would relieve us a little bit in our police budget.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows the people that really, you know, because one of the comments that I see all the time on Facebook, and, you know, that's 25% of it is positive and 25% of it's negative, and then the rest of it's somewhere in between. But pretty much consistently, everybody's like, please do something.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you don't float these ideas out and you don't get out there, even if it's unpopular, we're just going to stagnate because we're doing the same thing over and over again. And we've got to get politicians that aren't scared to kind of go out on a limb. And it's uncomfortable, trust me. It's uncomfortable when somebody, I had somebody call me a nasty word the other day, and it's uncomfortable. You don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Because my intentions are only, you know, are only to try to make Shreveport a better place for me and my family and for you and your family.
Absolutely.
Shreveport City Councilman Grayson Butcher. Look, thanks for jumping on with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Hey, look, Mike, every time you say, can you stay on, I've got something. My mind starts to wonder. So that was the easy one.
There you go. There you go. Thanks, Grayson. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Well, let's see. New Orleans can't make payroll. Baton Rouge laying off, 400 people. We may not have it too bad in Shreveport. Scott Hughes puts some things in perspective for us right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
I actually like this. I appreciate this. I appreciate this perspective.
I don't understand how I never thought of this. This is great. In the newscast, perhaps this morning, you have heard me say, New Orleans is having trouble making payroll. They're now going to the State Bond Commission to ask for a $125 million loan to meet payroll for their 5,000 workers.
Are they not getting tax revenue? Has the exodus from the city?
No, it's not that. It's that they have such a deficit.
Okay.
They have such a deficit. They've been overspending what they bring in. And now with LaToya on the way out, nobody's really been paying attention. And now it's ballooned to, I'm not going to give you the figure because I'll have it out of whack, but it's a big amount.
Okay.
Where you may not be able to make payroll at the end of November or the middle of December. How crazy is that? You got 5,000
workers. It's inexcusable is what it is.
And now,
has nobody been keeping up with this?
I know. Well, who's in charge? And where's she been lately? Overseas. Baton Rouge facing layoffs of as many as 400 workers due to shrinking budgets. The big problem is the St. George, the city of St. George. When they annexed, they created their own city. Guess what? The tax revenues from that home, that base, which is in high dollar homes.
Outside of Baton Rouge.
Yep, just outside. It was in the city limits. Now it's no longer. They're their own city. So they get to keep their tax revenues.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't go to Baton Rouge anymore.
But they also have to provide services.
They have to
hire police officers and water infrastructure and city maintenance, city streets maintenance.
That's the problem, because think about it, and we got to get to Scott. But and Scott said, and Shreveport's worried about a few idiots fighting at 2 a.m. in the morning. Scott, are nearly as big as what New Orleans and Baton Rouge are facing, huh?
No, and I certainly don't want to throw light on other problems that Shreveport has. There are issues, infrastructure, et cetera. But when I was listening to your update, I'm back in town, and I didn't mean to be on the radio this morning, and I just texted you. If you step back one step and get out of what's happening here at our city council, what we're looking at, and you look at a high picture, and I was in Baton Rouge yesterday, so I'm well aware of the Thrive Baton Rouge EBR vote that's coming up. I was at a meeting where the New Orleans financial situation is having a devastating effect because that's just the city, and we're dealing with the New Orleans Water and Sewer Board, which is a separate issue that's also in trouble down there. And all of a sudden I realized we're the third largest city in Louisiana, and we're not having problems making payroll. We're not looking at laying 400 people off. Yes, we need police officers. Yes, we're talking about some silliness at 2 a.m. that is a concern and we should take care of. But all of a sudden, our problems may not be as big as these other cities that we always think of as doing just great. They're not doing great, and maybe Shreveport's doing a little better structurally and at the big picture level than we give it credit for.
We Mayor, don't think about that, yeah.
Mayor Arsenault's texting you right now going, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I haven't talked to either Tom about this, you know, Tom Arsenault or Tom Dark. You know, the Tom's kind of run our city, do a great job, but it was just perspective. I travel, and you and I have talked, Aaron, a lot, and Mike, I know you travel. When you travel, you often get out of your city. You get to get a different perspective.
Right,
and sometimes
right.
you realize that what we all politics are local. I think I said that when I was on the show yesterday. All politics are local. Sometimes you get so caught up in what the politic of the day is in your neighborhood. Chickens today in Bossier City. Think about that. Bossier City has always been well-run financially, roads, et cetera. So when we have a problem in Bossier City, we're fighting a minutia problem.
We do have to think, though, what Baton Rouge is going through. We know there have been rumblings of the same thing
right.
for our city with the Ellerby Road folks.
Ellerby Road, that's right.
Our leaders need to know if the Ellerby Road folks ever get real serious about that, you're looking at financial disaster for Shreveport.
I would ask yes and no. But I mean, again, the purpose wasn't to talk about de-annexation. That's what happened in Baton Rouge. They de-annexed a part of town called St. George's.
Mm-hmm.
And people here in our local area have talked about de-annexing part of Shreveport, southeast Shreveport, deep southeast Shreveport, way down on Ellerby Road, mm-hmm. Often called forbing is what they refer to the movement as sometimes. The big difference I would suggest is many would look at Shreveport and say it costs us money to go out and chase that development. Now, obviously, we get tax revenue. There's nice homes out there. But we also had to provide fire and police. We have to provide water and sewer. We're having to constantly provide new infrastructure that far out, which many would argue and some in the planning community would say it didn't return its return on investment. Yes, you got the tax dollars, but you spend more in extending the city footprint out there. Baton Rouge is a little different. When they de-annex St. George, if you're not familiar with Baton Rouge, St. George is the area basically in and around the Mall of Americas right. and South.
Mm-hmm.
And so they de-annex what would be our equivalent of Burt Coons, our equivalent of the Auto Mall, all of the heavy dollar sales areas. So when St. George left, they took out a huge part of what's the EBR economy, and they didn't have much land that they had to do infrastructure in, and they left EBR, the now remaining city, East Baton Rouge. And remember, the mayor there it's a mayor president.
Right.
So they do have the mayor, the council, the parish mayor, a city form of government. And so it formed as a separate city. And when they did that, they took a huge amount of tax revenue and they left the city of Baton Rouge with all these long-term debts and now no way to pay them. And it could be 400 persons at the headlines yesterday in Baton Rouge.
I got a text for you, Scott, that's not great, but it's probably accurate for some. With regard to our problems pale in comparison to Baton Rouge and New Orleans, someone texted me and said, that's just called spin. Our problems are real. How do you respond?
Well, I think that comment's correct. Our problems are real. And I'm not trying to spin anything. And certainly I'm not here to defend Shreveport. We could spend an hour going over, quote, Shreveport's problems. But what I was pointing out, I guess the comment I made, was if you step back a step, and you try to get out of spin and you look at actual real numbers. New Orleans can't make payroll. Shreveport's having no problems making payroll. Baton Rouge is going to lay off 400 workers. And don't get me wrong, they have problems in police. They have problems in streets. They have crime every day. They had shootings at the LSU game 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have all those other problems we have, but they have these larger problems, these structural deep problems that Shreveport doesn't have. Shreveport has a list of problems we could spend six shows working on
sure.
if we wanted to nitpick. My comment was, at a high level, Shreveport is making budget. I think Shreveport, the council, the mayor, generally are keeping us within budget, on track. We have problems. We have water and sewer. We are short police officers. We could go down that list. I'm not trying to spin anything. I'm simply trying to say, sometimes you need to look at it from a bigger perspective and say, we don't have those problems.
Okay.
And that's all I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. I'm not attempting to defend.
And I think that's a very valid point. We get the old adage, you can't see the forest because of the trees.
Mm-hmm.
We're mired in the trees and we're not putting the right perspective on it. It's not.
And that's a great way to say it, Mike. I will certainly admit with the texter, with the listener, yes, Shreveport has some trees that need attention. Some need pruning, some need removal. but we have a forest that maybe not as dying as we think that it is.
Right.
And the truth is, if we can maintain and do some maintenance in that forest, we may be in better shape than many of these other cities. Because even if New Orleans is successful at the State Bond Commission, they're going to have to pay back $125 million. They're borrowing it.
Yeah.
Even if Baton Rouge is successful in this, if they're successful in their vote for Thrive EBR and they avoid laying off 400 employees, that means they pretty much agreed to wipe out their library system, their Council of Aging, and their mosquito abatement control problem. Mm. That's what they're going to do. They're going to consolidate monies from other areas. Shreveport's not making those. We're actually being, in my opinion, progressive, trying to look at how do we improve crime downtown? How do we improve blight? And how do we move towards development? There are some good things out there. We'll wait, and hopefully they all come to fruition. That was just my comment. I heard your comment. I didn't mean to interrupt the show, but it just put
No, it's a good perspective, Scott.
It is.
We got to get chickens in Bossier.
Yeah.
Doggone it.
And I'm not normally known as the very optimistic one, so I just thought I'd share that topic.
Funny you say that.
By the way, I'm getting messages from SPD folks this morning that we're about to prune some of those trees from the downtown fight. We'll have that hopefully later today.
And I bet you wouldn't get it.
Well needed.
Mm-hmm. I bet you wouldn't get a huge argument from Shreveport Police Chief Wayne Smith going, "I don't have to patrol way out there in Ellerbe anymore."
Yeah, sign me up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably wouldn't argue too hard.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it.
Thank y'all for what y'all do.
You bet.
Have a good morning. 101.7 FM, 710 Kia.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kia.
Yeah, we spoke to Grayson Butcher, and he was talking about the fee. And again, okay. First of all, commend them for trying something, proposing ideas at least.
Sure.
I don't know why we keep going back to adding fees to the water bill, but that when the mayor when the mayor proposed that, it was not very well received.
Well, his wasn't voluntary.
His wasn't voluntary.
It was mandatory, and it was a 2% fee. The thing I say is, if you have stellar water, you have A-plus water, and it's the best in the state, yeah, maybe I'll pay a little more for it. But if it's brown, or if in the case of the folks in Southeast Shreveport, the water pressure is 40-60%.
Right.
Seriously? You want me to pay more for an inferior product?
Well, technically, you're not paying for that. It's just the vehicle to get the money to.
I know
the police.
I know that's the way the city collects money, and I understand that. But it's just the taste in your mouth.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I didn't say taste in your mouth on purpose, but you know what I mean. We need to do something to beef up patrols. We did have news yesterday: 5 arrests. For the downtown melee?
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Let me hang on for just a minute because people are reacting to this on the Keel Facebook page.
Yes.
The story is up about the fee. It's a voluntary fee if it were proposed. It hasn't even been presented to the council yet. This is just an idea that he has had.
Right.
But the overwhelming response, Aaron, I bet you can guess.
Hail to the no?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Comments, isn't this the point of paying taxes? No, I already pay taxes. Nah, I'm good. Use that pickleball money.
No, that's not on there.
Yep. Use that pickleball money.
Let's do it
more
time.
The parish revenue bond. For the pickleball court.
It's not the pickleball park has nothing to do with the city of Shreveport, number one.
Number one.
B, Caddo Parish is using revenue bond money for the pickleball park, which is money that can only be used for projects that bring in revenue.
Maybe the Caddo Parish Commission will fund Shreveport police officers.
Well, the sheriff's going to help them downtown this weekend,
I'm
different.
Told. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, overwhelmingly, comments continue. Absolutely not. One, hell no. Another one, hell no. So
yeah, it's and Grayson put that on his Facebook page. He has since taken it down. He says it was not because of negativity. It was because he couldn't answer everybody. There was too many people commenting.
Well, there's a lot of negativity on ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we shall see.
One says, no, already pay taxes, property, and sales. Not going to volunteer to pay more. The city can do better budgeting with what they have.
Hmm. Okay.
That pretty well sums it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got cold weather coming. Hard to believe now when it's going to be 80 degrees today.
Mm-hmm. Are you okay with cold weather coming? I know you are.
I am.
You're all for it.
I absolutely am.
I'm okay with it 50-ish. I'm not okay with it 30-ish.
Jeff Eno with the Weather Channel joins us after the news, top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on that free Kiel app. FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline this morning. Jeff Eno with the Weather Channel joining us. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Well, we're doing very well. Thank you. Don't let this warm weather fool you. We got some cool temps coming, don't we?
We do. Yeah. We'll talk about the warm first. Low 80s. It's about 10 degrees above average. That's where we will be today, and it looks like for Saturday. Then we get the changes. We've got the initial frontal system coming in. Now, unfortunately, we need some rain. We could use some rain. We're not going to see much of that at all. From what I'm reading, it looks like the extreme eastern and southeastern parts of the region here are going to see any kind of activity. And even at that, it's probably just going to be stray showers or so Saturday night into early Sunday. Sunday, though, brings the sunshine. 62 for the afternoon high, so we go from about 10 degrees above average to about 10 degrees below average for Sunday. Winds out of the north may get up to 25 miles per hour, and then we'll talk about the overnight low. Tonight, upper 50s. Mid-50s, the low Saturday night, and then the low near 35 for Sunday night, so it's going to be a chilly start to Monday. Now, we will see plenty of sunshine Monday, so we've got that radiant heating. You get out in the sun, and it feels much warmer than it actually is. But we'll only go to the low 50s for the high, and then we drop back to the mid-30s for Monday night. Then we start to warm things up again.
When are we looking at just like normal, get back to cool temps and not looking at 80s anymore?
The closest that we are going to be to that is going to be Veterans Day Tuesday. We're still going to be slightly below average when we look at high in the mid-60s that day. But then we start to warm it back up. We're talking about, again, close to average Wednesday at 75. But then it looks like next Thursday we're predicted to go to the upper 70s for the high. So the temperatures are on kind of a up-and-down roller coaster here as we get through the next week or so.
For those like me that don't like this chilly temp that's on the way, the mid-30s on Monday morning, you're saying, it's November. Is this pretty typical? Typical time for the 30s to roll in?
No, not quite. It's not anything really out of the ordinary, but average-wise, we should be closer to 50 for the overnight lows, right in the upper 40s. So we will be looking at mid-50s, I'm sorry, for Saturday night. So we're close there, and then a couple of cold nights, and then back with a low near 50 for Tuesday night as we'll see plenty of sunshine Veterans Day, and then drop back to around 50 for the overnight low. The unfortunate part, again, is that we're not seeing any kind of rain, and we could definitely use that.
Oh, wait, that's the fortunate part, because you know what's happening, of course, is our state fair. Always get a rain out day. It runs through the 16th, and it looks like it might be a completely dry run this year.
I tell you, for the next few days, it's definitely going to look that way. So and I'm glad I could bring that forecast to you. So hopefully we won't be kicking up too much dust as far as the fair goes. But it looks like as far as the temperatures go here for the next few days, it's going to be very nice. But you say it goes through the 16th, and we're going to be looking at Temperatures predicted, and again, this is a little farther out, but going to be right at 80, it looks like, again, as we go through the 13th through the 15th, and then we start to cool things down just a little bit, just mid-70s. But again, these temperatures are, after this little snap here, for the next about 7 days or so, a little bit more, we're going to see those warmer temperatures. But it does look like towards Thanksgiving week, maybe we're predicted to go and see things a little cooler and a little more of a reasonable temperature for the afternoon highs.
Talking with Jeff Eno with the Weather Channel. Jeff, it looks like we're in for a pretty mild winter then.
So far, and I'm looking at some of the and again, I have to preface this with anything can change between now and, of course, you know, 3 weeks from now. But I'm looking at some of the predicted temperatures all the way into the first part of December. And we're in the 60s. You know, every now and then we'll dip down into the mid-50s, overnight lows in the upper 30s. But then they'll rebound back into the 40s. So as of right now, we're staying away from any of the extreme cold. And then also, of course, the stuff that we need the precipitation, but yeah, let's try and stay away from that frozen precipitation as far as any kind of icing, and I'm not seeing anything like that here in the near future.
One more time, if you don't mind, when is our next chance of any kind of measurable rainfall?
As of right now, it looks like it might be a couple of weeks from now.
Wow.
And looking through the next upcoming work week, seeing lots of sunshine, those sunny icons all the way through. And then the first predicted any kind of wet weather looks like, as of right now, it's going to be Wednesday a week from now, so right around the 19th. And even at that, that's pretty much the only day right now that we're seeing any kind of even a chance for some rain. So keeping fingers crossed that once the fair leaves, maybe, you know, we'll pick it up just a little bit. But as of right now, it doesn't look very hopeful as far as any wet weather.
No drizzle on my corn dog. I love it.
Just the ketchup.
Yes.
And the mustard.
Mustard. Yeah.
Jeff Eno with the Weather Channel. Thank you, Jeff. Have a good weekend.
Y'all do the same. Thank you.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Well, Fitty has caused quite a stir. He posted a picture of himself going by New York.
Yeah.
I think he's holding up a drink saying, come to Shreveport.
Yes.
All roads lead to Shreveport. Let's get to work.
He's got a graveyard sign saying RIP New York. He's on a plane saying, I'm out of here. Wow. How good is that for us, though?
I know.
That he's saying, leave New York, come here. This is the place for you. This could be a game changer.
When you watch Mom Donnie's commercials, he's smiling and he cares and he's going to give you everything in the world with a smile.
Yep.
But then did you watch his acceptance speech? He almost looked like, remember Biden's speech when it was all dark red behind him and the stark lighting and he was screaming the whole time? That's kind of what Mom Donnie looked like.
There was a little crazy to it.
He was angry. He was defiant. He was, and even some Democrats are like, whoa. We know socialist leaders change into evil over time, but not like before you even take office.
Yes, exactly.
He's already showing his true colors.
Mm-hmm. You know, what wealthy person is going to sit there and say, okay, I'll give you more money. I'll give you more money. And if they do, are not going to somehow pass it along.
Well, of course.
You know, but like for 50 Cent, if he's got a home in New York and he's going to be charged another million a year, help me with this. How does 50 Cent pass that along? Does he charge more for his music?
Right.
Does he charge more for ticket prices to his events, for his cognac? What, you know, how's he passing it along? I mean, at some point, you raise your price on your product too much, and people move on to a different product. So, I mean, he's going to say bye. I'm out.
I saw they an interview with a real estate agent, one of your friends in Florida, and she said, I was expecting an influx over the next few weeks. She goes, my phone blew up Tuesday night.
Wow. Wow.
And Wednesday, she says, I haven't been off the phone.
People trying to find a property to get out of there.
Get out of there.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you think about it seriously. If you think about the days of Rush Limbaugh, when his studio was in New York, he used to love broadcasting from New York. And then they started doing those fees and the charges if you worked in New York, the wealth tax. And he said, heck with that.
Right.
I'm out. Moved his location, his whole entourage to Florida.
As did Sean Hannity.
You bet. Think about the millions of dollars New York, just with those two people.
If you watch Sean Hannity at night, he's doing that from Florida. He's not in New York on Fox News.
It's amazing. And now the message is going to be sent loud and clear. I mean, there's going to be a wave after wave after wave. And what's going to happen to New York? That's my worry. What a gorgeous city. I mean, it is a crown jewel of cities.
Look at San Francisco. It was beautiful at one point. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's a valid point. Golly, it's sad. It's sad to watch. It really is. And, you know, is there any chance he surprises us and turns the city around and everybody's happy? And I'm not betting on that.
No.
I'm not going to.
How is he going to do that, Aaron? How's he going to do that? By taxing more? You increase taxes, you're going to increase the overall cost of everything.
If you increase taxes for a landowner or property owner, I mean, raise your hand if you own property here and maybe you have a rental property. If they increase your taxes, what are you going to do? You're going to charge more rent.
Well, of course.
Poor people are typically the ones who are renting. You're going to hurt poor people. How do they not see that? How do they not grasp that? I don't get it.
And let's raise that minimum wage to $30 an hour. Congratulations. Your Big Mac now costs $25.
Yeah, good luck selling Big Macs. And then your McDonald's closes.
Right.
Because they can't sell Big Macs for $25.
And CVS now moves out of the neighborhoods.
Yep.
Your little bodegas gone.
Long gone.
Because long these gone. Employees... Think it through. Think it through.
People don't. People really don't. And it's sad because...
All they hear is, oh, I get free bus rides. I get free childcare now. Mm-hmm. I get free groceries. We're going to have the city's going to run the grocery stores now. The prices are going to be lower.
Mm-hmm.
What?
And even if they tell you, rent controls. Yeah, maybe your rent's controlled and you have rent control plans. But everything else, prices are going to go up on everything else.
Well, even rent control is not all it's...
No, it's not.
Ruben, bring my computer up, by the way. Mm. Speaking of San Francisco.
You're mean.
Nancy Pelosi.
She gone.
Oh, couldn't have come. It should have come 20 years ago.
Not running for re-election. Nancy Pelosi is retiring. She's 85. It's time.
Well, yeah.
It's time. And President Obama says she was one of the best speakers we've ever had in this nation.
Uh-huh.
Sign that petition if you agree. Yeah. Bye-bye, Nancy.
Ruts a ruck.
Yeah.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, what's the progress on the hookah bar for Shreve City? You think people just like saying hookah? Like there's a dog. Somebody has a dog named Hookah. Cynthia Keith. Speaking of dogs, Cynthia... No, well, that didn't sound right, did it? She's the... Ruben, get me out of this. She's coming up after the break. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Well, on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline this morning, representing the Captain Shreve Neighborhood Association, Cynthia Keith joining us. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Well, there was a recent meeting a couple of days ago concerning opening a hookah lounge in Shreve City. What can you tell us? What's the latest?
Well, it's actually across the street from Shreve City. This one would be situated next to Podnas Barbecue on Shreveport Barksdale Highway.
It's the old Video One location, right?
That is correct. And at one time it was a church. And from what I understand, even the previous tenants were gaming type stuff, cards and things. I do know one of the big complaints we're hearing is they don't think there'll be enough parking. That has been the issue for the church that was there and for the gaming location that was there. So that is a big concern. You can't park on the grass around there. You know, other people are saying there's a noise issue. You know, they're supposedly everything is going to be inside, nothing but smoking inside. But yet the other businesses that front these houses do complain about the noise.
Okay. The big question is, hookah lounges, you've done a lot of research. I just worry that there's some way there's going to ultimately be alcohol there. What are they saying about that? The owners had a big neighborhood meeting this week. What are they saying about alcohol?
And that is a big concern. They supposedly have signed a lease, a five-year lease, the owners have with the realtors. And it does spell out that they cannot sell alcohol. And if they wanted to, they would have to reapply and everything. So this is basically what they are comparing to a coffee shop. This is a place where you just go and smoke and hang out with your buddies. They might serve coffee, smoothies, fruit drinks, but calling it Haifa Hookah Lounge and Cafe is a little misleading. There's really not going to be any food, maybe a pastry here or there, so it's just a place to go smoke.
But can I bring my own alcohol? Did that question come up?
It did come up. People are concerned about that, and it was kind of like, well, I'm sure you probably could anywhere if you sneak it in, which is true. You could sneak in alcohol anywhere, but they are checking at the door for the age limit. You have to be 21 to go in. But no, there's not supposed to be any drinking, nothing illegal, even in the tobacco.
And that brings up a point. A lot of people might not understand what hookah is. What is this? It's not something that gets you high, is it? It's just flavored tobacco.
Right. This is a water pipe. You've seen it. It originated in the Middle East, maybe in India. And you've seen over the years people smoking. It is a flavored tobacco, and there are even add-ins if you want to put a little more fruit in it or whatever. Supposedly, it's going to cost you about $25 to sit down and smoke a pipe that might last 40 minutes. And I guess other people can partake with you and put it on the middle of the table, but it's a water pipe.
Otherwise known as a big old bong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it kind of
Ruben's laughing
like
over there at now, me now.
Now, Cynthia, the same group, I believe, tried to put one in Southern Hills, and the neighborhood rose up against it, and they withdrew. Is this the same group, and is the neighborhood reacting the same?
I'm not sure if it's the same group. I have a feeling maybe it is, but I'm not sure. And they did not say it was when I asked the owners. Now, understand, the person doing most of the talking was more on the realtor side of things.
Okay.
You know, somebody saying, well, they're just saying that because they want to rent this place out and keep a tenant in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we were hearing more from them, but the same arguments were happening in the Southern Hills neighborhood. They were afraid it was going to turn into a bar and have alcohol. They were worried about the traffic count. They were worried about houses behind the location. And this place stays open till midnight, 7 days a week. Actually, Saturday and Fridays till 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say there won't be people hanging outside? I asked if you could smoke cigarettes because that would be a reason why you'd want to go outside and converse. And they said, no, they allow cigarettes inside.
But is that neighborhood, Anderson Island, Captain Shreve, is that neighborhood rising up against it like Southern Hills did, or was it a minimal attendance?
I'm getting mixed opinions. Some people are like, hey, hookah bars are the thing now and have been for a while. Shreveport's just behind, and now we're just doing it. But this particular location, Weeby House is directly behind it, even with them putting up a 6-foot privacy fence, I do not think is a great place. I'm not necessarily against the idea, but not right there. That's something that kind of needs to sit alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what now? They have to have a variance or a permit to do this, correct? Because of the hours?
Well, this is a special use permit because they really haven't had anything really just like this before. I mean, you might have hookah that's being smoked in a restaurant or a bar, but this is a nothing but hookah place.
Didn't we have one just like that across the street? Down by the Wendy's? Wasn't that a hookah lounge, or was that a full alcohol deal?
That was a restaurant.
Okay.
That also had alcohol and hookah.
Okay. So this is
nothing
different.
But hookah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe with some coffee.
So where does it go now?
I find it hard to believe that would be a whole business just in itself.
I find that hard to believe too. So what's next?
$25 to sit there and smoke, you know, and then add-ons, and then you get several people because supposedly it's a place for the neighbors to gather. It's just, it's not a bar. But it's the same type of situation. There's just no alcohol.
Mm.
So what's to say it might come to a neighborhood near you? It could come anywhere. And this could set a precedent right here.
Absolutely. So what's next? When's the hearing?
December 3rd. And they are asking for people to email the Metropolitan Planning Commission for or against. They just want some community input. You know, you could actually come to the meeting December 3rd at 3.
Okay.
Downtown in City Hall.
Councilman Jim Taliaferro was at the neighborhood meeting this week. Did he raise any concerns? Could you tell whether he's for or against it?
He kind of stayed in the middle because he's trying to represent the public. And right now we don't know how the public feels about it. He was concerned a lot about the air filtration system.
Okay.
You know, they said you'll come in, you won't be able to smell if there are any cigarettes or, you know, any hookah pipe and those things. And a lot of other people raised some of the concerns that he probably had. A neighbor that was behind there said, I'm totally against this. You know, what if smoke is coming out of the top? Or what
right.
about the coals that stay lit? To, you know, the other place, it's for the Shreveport Barstown Bridge, burned down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure
so
did. Well,
he's concerned about that. What if that place does burn and so do the businesses next or the houses behind it? What about smoke coming out? How good of a filtration system is that?
Yeah.
Who's, you know,
well,
who's watching that?
Up against the clock. Keep us posted on this. We appreciate your time.
Okay. Like I said, I'm not against it. Just not there, and I don't like those late night hours.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia Keith, Captain Shreve Neighborhood Association. Thank you, Cynthia.
Has the Shreve-Bird rivalry gone too far? Have you heard what's been happening this week? We'll talk about that next.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with me on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, how much of it is harmless fun? But at what point does it go too far?
Yeah, the Bird Shreve rivalry, every year they do some crazy stuff. Perhaps you've seen the sign on I-49, Bird runs the city. There were some signs put on some downtown buildings. There was a sign put on top of Dick's Sporting Goods. Someone climbed on the roof of Dick's Sporting Goods and hung a sign that says, Shreve sucks. We know it was Bird people then, obviously. But then there's some signs hung on the C.E. Bird school sign that says you are all irrelevant. And 2-7, which was Bird's record at the time. They do it back and forth. They've been doing it for years. But I got a call from a teacher last night who said, this year has gotten really nasty and personal, where they're making signs up with people's names on them and calling them horrible names and posting those signs in their yards and in their neighborhoods and keep it non-personal. You know, Shreve sucks is good, Bird sucks is good. I'm okay
is
with
it,
that.
Though?
Well, climbing on rooftops, though, in the middle of the night, because I'm told they go out on these 2 a.m. runs.
How do you get up there?
I don't know. That's a good question. They obviously brought a ladder of some sort. Or I don't know if Dix has got a ladder on the back of the building they got access to. I'm not sure. But, you know, when you get to Dix in the morning to open the store, there's a big old sign on it. It says Shreve sucks. Who do you call if you're at Dix? Hey, we need a guy to come take the
Which
sign down.
Which is over 200, 300 yards away from Shreve.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. Exactly. Shreve won the game, so props to Shreve. They have a much better season than Bird, no doubt. But at some point, A, your kids shouldn't be out at 2 in the morning putting signs out in people's yards with girls' names on them, calling these girls foul names. That's just wrong. That's too far. That's going too far. They need to stop getting so personal. Just make it fun. Steal the gator from Shreve or whatever.
When I was 16 and 15, it's a miracle I'm sitting here today.
Yeah.
The stupid things that we did back in high school.
Yeah.
I opened my front door to let my dog out, and a yellow light flashed right in my face at like 5 o'clock in the morning. It was dark. Scared the crap out of me. Somebody had taken one of those highway yellow flashers.
Oh, gosh.
Put it on my front porch. And as my eyes adjusted, I looked out into the yard, and every political sign in my neighborhood was in my front yard.
Yeah.
I mean, 200 political signs were in our front yard.
Most of it's harmless. Most of it is harmless. But to write signs and put people's names on them and then call them a hoe or whatever you're calling them, and then putting them around their neighborhood, that's enough. Come on.
And what's the basis of this? Social media?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Social media?
Mm-hmm. And the kids getting out at 2 in the morning. Moms and dads, you got to do a little better than that. Come on. Come on now.
Then they're going to be down on Texas Street fighting.
Yeah, you got a point.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel. FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Well, the government shutdown beginning to reach its tentacles deep into different aspects, including air traffic controllers. But is it affecting flights in and out of Shreveport? Mark Crawford joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mark with the Shreveport Regional Airport. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
They rolled out a list of the big airports where they were cutting back flights by about 10%. Shreveport obviously was not on that list, but DFW was, and I guess that's what impacts us here, correct?
Well, thankfully, the flights between Shreveport and Dallas have not been affected. We've only had two flights canceled for today, one to Atlanta and one to Houston, and we have been told that there should not be any flights on American today to either Charlotte or Dallas that are affected because of the shutdown.
And those flights, the two that were canceled, was that because of the shutdown, or were there weather in Atlanta? What was the cause for those?
We were made aware of those yesterday afternoon, and so, which means that's too early. That we were not told it was because of the shutdown, but it's too early for weather. So my guess is those were definitely related to the shutdown.
What about air traffic control issues here? Is it fully staffed? Is there a shortage of folks working air traffic control in Shreveport, or is that mainly a problem in the bigger markets?
So, you know, Shreveport is a training facility. The tower in Shreveport is a training facility for air traffic controllers. So a lot of times there is an extra person up there than there normally would be. Because
I did not know that.
Yes, and so you know, we're one of only two airports. New Orleans is the other one that has a 24-hour air traffic control tower. 24/7. You know, like, again, New Orleans is the only other airport in Louisiana that has that, and that's because we're a training facility. But we have not been made aware of any issues with staffing in the tower. You know, lots of different individuals and organizations have been bringing food the TSA workers and to the air traffic controllers, and so I've been lucky and I've been able to go upstairs in the tower more than I usually ever do to bring them the food that the people have been donating, and they've always been fully staffed every time I've been up there.
Mark, I gotta ask you that, because the TSA workers that are checking us all in, the air traffic control tower. This is more than a month now with no pay. Am I right?
I believe that's correct, yes.
How do you make ends meet? I mean, I could go 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, but you get beyond a month and I'm starting to look for another job. Have y'all lost folks? Are they moving on?
You know, TSA is their own organization, so we don't deal with their particular staffing levels, but we have not been made aware of any, we've never had any checkpoint issues this entire shutdown. So, you know, I flew out earlier this week. I flew home last night, had no issues either, you know, at either airport where I was going or coming from. So thankfully, we've been very lucky, and, you know, the staffing levels of TSA and the air traffic control tower have not affected us here in Shreveport.
Do they have a way where they can just stretch their shifts and, hey, I'm sorry, but you're going to work a 12 instead of an 8 today? Or are there some limits because of the high security of those jobs?
You know, and that's a great question that I don't know. Again, we don't really deal with how TSA operates. They're kind of just a tenant of the airport. You know, we work with their management. What I have noticed is there are some managers that typically are just supervising the activities of the checkpoint. They are working specific jobs. You might normally see someone in a blue shirt, the TSA representative. I have seen managers working other positions that they, like I said, normally wouldn't be in.
Mark, we're talking with Mark Crawford with the Shreveport Regional Airport. What kind of staff do we have here on our air traffic controllers? How many people work in the tower?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't know the specific answer. The air traffic controllers are, again, federal employees, and we don't have anything to do with their operations, how they do things. So there's usually always two people in the tower. Like one of the times I've been up there, there's been three. Mm-hmm. So there's been, you know, it's been fully staffed and then some. You know, what I like to tell people is think of the airport as like a mall. So instead of retail stores, we have tenants like American, Delta, TSA, the FAA, the rental car companies. So we don't deal with their specific day-to-day operations, even though we talk to their management all the time. But from what we've been told from the tower people and from TSA, they've not had any issues making sure the operations are running safely and smoothly.
We did get a message on our Shreveport Security Systems message board. Jerry says, just an FYI, Shreveport is affected by travel. My flight from DFW for this evening already canceled, having to reroute from DC to CLT to Shreveport. Not a fun day of flying for sure.
Was that today or yesterday?
That came in this morning.
Gotcha. Okay, then that may have changed. You know, I got an update earlier this morning, so that things may have changed since then.
What's CLT? Where is
Charlotte,
that?
Right?
Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte,
thank you.
Yes. Okay.
So instead of flying to Dallas, they're having to fly to Charlotte to get to Shreveport. So there may be a flight between DFW and Shreveport that's canceled for today.
Right. So we normally have 6 flights a day to Dallas and 3 a day to Charlotte. And so even if it was for weather or staffing or crew, under normal circumstances, thankfully, because we have 9 flights a day on American, rerouting through a different hub is not typically an issue since we do have so much connectivity each day.
How has the shutdown impacted our boarding and deplaning? I mean, are the numbers down, up? What are they looking like right now for November?
So I got the numbers from January through October. I got those earlier this week. And so year to date, we're up about 51,000 more passengers this year than last year. You know, to me, my office overlooks the checkpoint, and so I'm able to see people come and go all day long. And it kind of looked like October was slightly slower than September, which is not normally the case. But when I finally got the hard numbers, there were almost 4,000 more people this October than last October.
Wow.
And about 2,000 more this October than September of this year. So clearly what I was seeing was, and what I thought I was seeing, was not the case. So thankfully our numbers, you know, we're up 17% year over year in 2025 versus 2024, which has been fantastic.
Well, that might answer my next question. Mark, the parking lot there at the airport, the long-term parking there, my gosh, they're on the grass. They're parked all over the place.
They're on the curbs. They're under the trees. They're in the trees.
Yes.
They're anywhere they can find a spot.
Where are all those people coming and going? Are they flying in and out of Shreveport?
They are. You know, we had new nonstop service to Nashville this year, which did really well. It's already coming back next year. Tickets are on sale now, by the way, to nonstop to Nashville, Destin, and Orlando, our seasonal routes. But we opened about a month and a half ago an additional 250 spots in the long-term lot, and we also repurposed slightly used but not that often employee lot into paid public parking. And so that's almost over 300 new spots. That brings our total parking spots at the airport to 1,350 parking spots. For the holiday season this year, which is not typically quite as busy as summer, we should have plenty of parking all holiday season long. We are also in the final design stages of a 700-spot lot that we hope will partially be open for next summer.
That's what I thought. You're building an entirely new lot, aren't you?
Yeah, so the 250 spots that came online about a month and a half ago was an extension of our long-term lot in a grassy area. And then if you flew this summer, you probably saw just past our cell phone lot, a lot of people parking in the grass and weren't paying anything, and it was very inconvenient. We're thankful that people were accommodating of the situation at the airport. You know, I've been here 15 years, and we've never seen a parking issue like that in the entire time I've been here. Mm-hmm. There were more cars parked here at the airport this year than probably in the airport's history, because we've never had as many parking spots as we do right now.
Okay, got the email about the huge Monk House Drive revitalization project. They're having a big event Wednesday. You can't be more happy about the big changes they're planning for Monk House Drive. It's going to be beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, I'm excited about it. We've seen some renderings. We've heard, you know, some ideas of what they plan to do, which is fantastic. You know, several of the hotels that are along Monk House have been spending millions of dollars remodeling and renovating. And so we're glad to see that. So hopefully once what the city is planning on doing, all that comes to light and is done, the corridor between I-20 and the entrance of the airport is something that everyone can be proud of. We're actually about to get in the next probably 4 or 5 months, a brand new front entrance sign. You know, the sign that's there now is from 1999 when we did our remodel. It's a very nondescript sign. We are having a brand new 15-foot tall airport logo, brand new front entrance sign that we're excited to see. Cool. It should all be ready by next May.
Very cool.
Mark Crawford, Shreveport Regional Airport. Thanks for jumping on with us, Mark. Have a good weekend.
Anytime. You too.
Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. I wanted to ask Mark about parking right in the front. They don't like that.
They don't like that at all. They sure don't. They'll give you a ticket. They move you on pretty quick. They really do. Unless if you have a cane. Learned that from a friend.
Yeah, from a friend, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I request a wheelchair?
I saw something, speaking of that, you know how some, because when I had my knee replacement, I was doing a couple of trips, and I had to get in a wheelchair to go from gate to gate or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they now have wheelchairs at LAX that you get in them, and you put in, you scan your ticket, and the wheelchair automatically knows to drive you automatically to your gate. You don't need a human. You get in the chair, you scan your boarding pass.
Oh, I want one of those.
And the wheelchair rolls you to where you don't have to tip them. You probably pay for the wheel. I don't know what the procedure is, but you go up and you say, I need a wheelchair. They give you the wheelchair, scan your ticket, the wheelchair, and it knows if there's somebody in your way. It breaks and all that. I'm like, wow.
You got to do this?
Not yet. A friend of mine did.
Okay.
And she sent me the video. She went, look at this newfangled wheelchair. And I went, wow, I'm down with that.
Is it a Waymo wheelchair?
I don't know who made them, but they're rolling them out, and they're going to be in all the big airports soon, I can imagine.
Did you get that, Reuben? Did you catch that?
Waymo, yeah.
They're rolling them out.
Oh, yeah.
They're rolling them out.
I didn't intend on that, but that's exciting. I mean, this automation stuff's getting crazy.
It's pretty incredible.
It really is. When is my fridge going to be able to get something out of it and bring it to my bedroom? Waiting on that one. Work on that, Elon.
They are.
Are they really?
Have you seen the newest robot? Aaron,
it'll go in your fridge?
I'm sure. You know what? It probably will. It's pretty danged incredible.
Boy, how lazy are we?
And if they... Because it looks like a robot. I mean, it's metal with the arm.
Yeah.
But it has fingers and it has... And it walks and it goes and it does laundry.
Can it scratch your back?
So if they start covering these with a skin-like covering... We're living in Blade Runner times.
Oh, my gosh. They're coming.
It's pretty amazing.
They're coming.
Pretty amazing.
Definitely.
Cooler weather, speaking of, is on its way. I mean, like near freezing temperatures.
Ooh.
I know. I love it. I love it. You're going to love it. It's going to be great.
Of course we are.
Jeff Eno with the Weather Channel gives us an update in about 10 minutes. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
We had Shreveport Police Chief Wayne Smith in studio earlier this week, and one of the questions we asked was, how is the investigation going on the brawl from downtown? Were there any arrests? Because it had been 3 or 4 days at that point. Well, they had been working, identifying suspects. They made 5 arrests yesterday, I believe.
Is it true that 3 of them were on probation?
Probation at the time of the incident. Ja'Cory Wesley, DeMarcus Island, and Aaron Small.
For what kind of crimes, do we know?
Being held on additional probation violation, currently being held without bond.
Good.
Pending further legal action. So,
do we know their previous records or anything like that? Do we know what their priors were?
That they released that.
Well, we asked the chief when he was here about some of them, who they knew that day.
Mm-hmm.
They could not release it yet because they were chasing them and they didn't want them to go underground. And I said, are we going to have priors for these folks? And he nodded his head. Serious violent crimes, and he nodded his head.
Well, because so far, the only charges that the police department released were disturbing the peace by fighting.
Mm.
Now, if you watched any of that video, some of those charges seem like they need to be upgraded.
And see, I'm on the fence with regard, because some have said that the kicking of the unconscious man could rise to aggravated. I don't think the DA would be able to prove that, because I think aggravated battery, you have to have some sort of a weapon. Doesn't matter the condition of the victim.
I don't know. If a victim is defenseless and you use your foot, that could be considered.
Yeah, that would be a real tough legal fight. I would get him on as many kicks, like 18 counts of kicks or punches,
right.
You know, throw the book at him for that kind of thing. But my problem is, and this was not on the air with the chief, but it wasn't off the record either. When we said, well, is it a problem of the district attorney didn't prosecute? He said, no, that was not the problem in these cases. It's the jail, the state corrections department. Now, if you serve like 35% of your time, you get out. And they get back released back into our community. And that goes back to justice reinvestment. Remember when we did all that back in 2017 and we let a lot of folks out of the jails?
Sheriff Prater's favorite thing.
Oh, loves that.
Justice reinvestment.
A lot of folks on the left were all for it. Well, now you're reaping the benefits of that.
Yeah.
Now you're letting these guys out after they serve. So... do we need to keep those jails locked and keep those people and make them serve 75, 80% of their time? Or do you think 35% of their time is okay? That's a problem.
It's a huge problem. Cold weather on the way. Jeff Eno with the Weather Channel joining us next. Mike and McCarty.
Just got a note. The 6th arrest has now been made. So they got another one. Go SPD.
I hope more serious charges are forthcoming.
You bet.
101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline this morning. Jeff Eno with the Weather Channel joining us. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Well, we're doing very well. Thank you. Don't let this warm weather fool you. We got some cool temps coming, don't we?
We do. Yeah. We'll talk about the warm first. Low 80s. It's about 10 degrees above average. That's where we will be today, and it looks like for Saturday. Then we get the changes. We've got the initial frontal system coming in. Now, unfortunately, we need some rain. We could use some rain. We're not going to see much of that at all. It looks like the extreme eastern and southeastern parts of the region here are going to see any kind of activity. And even at that, it's probably just going to be stray showers or so Saturday night into early Sunday. Sunday, though, brings the sunshine. 62 for the afternoon high, so we go from about 10 degrees above, about 10 degrees below average for Sunday. Winds out of the north may get up to 25 miles per hour. And then we'll talk about the overnight low. Tonight, upper 50s. Mid-50s, the low Saturday night. And then the low near 35 for Sunday night. So it's going to be a chilly start to Monday. Now, we will see plenty of sunshine Monday. So we've got that radiant heating. You get out in the sun, and it feels much warmer than it actually is. But we'll only go to the low 50s for the high, and then we drop back to the mid-30s for Monday night. Then we start to warm things up again.
When are we looking at just like normal, get back to cool temps and not looking at 80s anymore?
The closest that we are going to be to that is going to be Veterans Day Tuesday. We're still going to be slightly below average when we look at high in the mid-60s that day. But then we start to warm it back up. We're talking about, again, close to average Wednesday at 75. But then it looks like next Thursday we're predicted to go to the upper 70s for the high. So the temperatures are on kind of a up-and-down roller coaster here as we get through the next week or so.
For those like me that don't like this chilly temp that's on the way, the mid-30s on Monday morning, you're saying, it's November. Is this pretty typical? Typical time for the 30s to roll in?
No, not quite. It's not anything really out of the ordinary, but average-wise, closer to 50 for the overnight lows, right in the upper 40s. So we will be looking at mid-50s, for Saturday night. So we're close there, and then a couple of cold nights, and then back with a low near 50 for Tuesday night as we'll see plenty of sunshine Veterans Day, and then drop back to around 50 for the overnight low. The unfortunate part, again, is that we're not seeing any kind of rain, and we could definitely use that.
Oh, that's the fortunate part, because you know what's happening, of course, is our state fair.
Our that state, okay?
Our
that
state fair
always
running,
gets rained
they
out.
They always get a rain out day. They have it runs through the 16th. And it looks like it might be a completely dry run this year.
I tell you, for the next few days, it's definitely going to look that way. So and I'm glad I could bring that forecast to you. So hopefully we won't be kicking up too much dust as far as the fair goes. But it looks like as far as the temperatures go here for the next few days, it's going to be very nice. But you say it goes through the 16th, and we're going to be looking at temperatures predicted, and again, this is a little farther out, but going to be right at 80, it looks like, again, as we go through the 13th through the 15th, and then we start to cool things down just a little bit, just mid-70s. But again, these temperatures are, after this little snap here, for the next about 7 days or so, a little bit more, we're going to see those warmer temperatures. But it does look like towards Thanksgiving week, maybe we're predicted to go and see things a little cooler and a little more of a reasonable temperature for the afternoon highs.
I'm talking with Jeff Eno with the Weather Channel. Jeff, it looks like we're in for a pretty mild winter then.
So far, it's and I'm looking at some of the And again, I have to preface this with anything can change between now and, of course, you know, 3 weeks from now. But I'm looking at some of the predicted temperatures all the way into the first part of December. And we're in the 60s. You know, every now and then we'll dip down into the mid-50s, overnight lows in the upper 30s, but then they'll rebound back into the 40s. So as of right now, we're staying away from any of the extreme cold. And then also, of course, the stuff that we need the precipitation, but yeah, let's try and stay away from that frozen precipitation as far as any kind of icing. And I'm not seeing anything like that here in the near future.
One more time, if you don't mind, when is our next chance of any kind of measurable rainfall?
As of right now, it looks like it might be a couple of weeks from now.
Wow.
And looking through the next upcoming work week, seeing lots of sunshine icons all the way through. And then the first predicted any kind of wet weather looks like, as of right now, it's going to be Wednesday a week from now, so right around the 19th. And even at that, that's pretty much the only day right now that we're seeing any kind of even a chance for some rain. So keeping fingers crossed that once the fair leaves, maybe, you know, we'll pick it up just a little bit. But as of right now, it doesn't look very hopeful as far as any wet weather.
No drizzle on my corn dog. I love it.
Just the ketchup.
Yes.
And the mustard.
Mustard. Yes.
Jeff Eno with the Weather Channel. Thank you, Jeff. Have a good weekend.
Y'all do the same. Thank you.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel
from Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
This is a rough weekend for me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell you why. Because tomorrow is my oldest son's birthday. November 8th.
November 8th,
and,
okay.
And I can't say a whole lot, but he's unreachable at the moment. And that's all I can really tell you. So it might be, I think, the first birthday I might miss talking to him. I'm hoping he gets relief tonight or tomorrow for a little while where we can talk.
Because he's in the Marine Corps.
He's in the Marines,
right.
Yes. And he's
right.
In, I'm not even going to say where he is, but because my kids are real private about that stuff. So
well,
I keep it kind of quiet. And the Marines don't like you talking about their folks.
Obviously.
For obvious reasons. But I will never forget when I was pregnant with him. I was as big as a house and he was kicking and, you know, raising all kind of heck and making me eat all kind of silly food. And when you're getting ready to be a new mom.
And this is your first child.
Yeah, first
right.
child.
So you've never been pregnant.
Never been pregnant before. And I'm really getting stressed out. And my doctor, who shall remain nameless, was running either the Boston or New York Marathon. And he said, look, now I'm going to be out for part of November. And I said, and
I'm going to be out on your due date.
So there may be an on-call doctor. I said, no, there won't. And so we ended up inducing the baby on November 8th. But I actually went into labor, believe it or not, that very same morning. And this was an all-day thing. This one was all natural. Not a drop of medicine. No epidural. No
Are
nothing.
You kidding?
No nothing. Not a drop of anything. And I went in at 6 or 6:30 in the morning, and the baby came out. This is so funny. Peter Jennings had started the news on ABC. The baby was born at like 5:30 in the evening when the national news started.
Okay.
And I'm seeing Peter Jennings when the birth of the baby happens, and I'll never forget that. I thought, I'll be darned. I'm watching Peter Jennings when I'm birthing my baby.
And now your son, Peter Jennings McCarty, is
yeah.
in the Marines.
So I hope I get to sing him happy birthday tomorrow. I hope I get, and then for all those who know my older son, they know what a great guy he is. My youngest one too, but they know him, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of folks that'll be wishing him happy birthday. But I'll just never forget that day. And he did a tinkle on the nurse right away. He sure did. He did a little tinkle on the nurse, which was his claim to fame. But he was a great baby. He really was. Now when I had baby number two. Great baby, too, but it was a C-section. And, man, postpartum kicked in. Postpartum's a real thing. A real thing. I'll never forget sitting in the bathtub calling my doctor saying, somebody come get these two kids before I harm them. I literally said that.
Wow.
And he said, where are you and what's the closest drugstore to you?
I've got something to help.
Got something to help. And it did for 2 weeks. I took a medication to help and ease it up. And then from that day forward, everything was good. But that moment when you have a little toddler wandering around, because my boys are 16 months apart, and you have a baby sitting in a, you know, sitting on the side of your jacuzzi tub because you want him to be calm and quiet, and he's still screaming bloody murder. Oh, that feeling was overwhelming.
Yeah.
Overwhelming. Oh, man. But happy birthday to my big boy. I'm so proud of him.
And look at him today.
Yeah, I'm proud of mom. I'm a proud mama. There's no doubt about it. Good guys.
Well, tell him we said happy birthday.
And happy birthday to the Marines, too, this weekend. I think 250 years.
Wow.
Hoorah.
Hoorah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.